The last place that we'll visit, at least some of us will get to visit, because I understand some devotees have to leave. But the place that we'll visit is the deities of Radha Madhava that were worshipped by Jayadev Goswami. Jayadev Goswami, like we heard when we were in Vrindavan, Jayadev Goswami is an author who lived prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his writings were a source of great inspiration for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who was the other person we spoke about? Chandidas. We visited, we were near the area where the samadhi of Bilvamangala Thakur. And what was the book written by Bilvamangala Thakur? Krishna Karnamrita. Krishna Karnamrita. And what was the book written by Jayadev Goswami? Gita Govinda. So, he lived around 300 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was born in what was then Bengal, which is now Bangladesh, in a Brahmin family. And from his early childhood, he had practically no interest in marriage. He was very renounced and detached. There's a very interesting story about how his marriage happened. It was arranged by Lord Jagannath. Not too many people can claim that one. He was living in Jagannath Puri at the time, and as a renunciate. And there was a family, husband and wife, who for a long time had undergone particular vrata in order to have a qualified son. And as fate would have it, they had a qualified daughter. And her name was Padmavati. Padmavati became Jayadev Goswami's wife, eventually. Some particular detail that's not, my memory is failing me, but one of these dream sequences where the parents had a dream or something like that, where the parents understood from the dream that this saintly person living in Puri should be married to their daughter. So they found out the location of Jayadev, and they came and informed Jayadev of the intention of Lord Jagannath, that their daughter should marry him. And he gave a respectful no, that I have no interest in marriage, and how do I know what Lord Jagannath said in your dream? I've heard these things before, kind of a response. And declined. And so what did the parents do? They went before Lord Jagannath, and they said, you've instructed us to have our daughter married to Jayadev, and he's declined, so we're leaving our daughter with you. She's in your care. And they left the temple room. Just like that. So the daughter wasn't really sure what to do, but she understood that Lord Jagannath had some intention for her, and so she went to Jayadev and told him what happened. Her parents have just deposited her with Lord Jagannath. And Jagannath's instruction, she repeated, and he said a respectful no. And she said, well, my life is to follow the instruction of Lord Jagannath, so what will I do if you continue to say no? I understand your disposition of renunciation, of not wanting a wife, but the will of Lord Jagannath is there. It's not my plan or your plan, it's the plan of Lord Jagannath. And she spoke with such simplicity and sincerity and humility that Jayadev married Padmavati. There's no indication that they had children, but they lived their lives together in pure devotion to Krishna. After some time, Jayadev made his residence in Navadvip. This is long before, again 300 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And Navadvip, even prior to Lord Chaitanya's appearance, was understood to be a holy place. And particularly, it was a stronghold of Vaishnavism. A little bit about the history of Bengal at the time. Prior to the Turkish rule and invasion, military invasion and that kind of thing, there was a long-standing dynasty of Vaishnava kings in Bengal. And the royal family was the Sena family. Some of you who have been to Mayapur, maybe you remember behind the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math and in between Chaitanya Gaudiya Math and Murari Gupta's residence, there's a big flat agricultural field that was dug and named Balal Digi. Balal Digi was expanded form of Prithu Kund. Those of you who went to Mayapur might remember this. During the time of Prithu Maharaj, one of his first duties or missions was to see that the earth planet was producing grain. Because during the reign of the King Vena, the wicked King Vena, there were no sacrifices, and so there was no rain, and so there was no production of grain. So he got on Mother Earth's case, it's right in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, and instructed her, you better produce grain. I'm the king, and you need to produce grain. And her response was, well, don't blame me, it was King Vena, wicked King Vena. Now that you're the king, don't worry, plenty of grain. So one of the missions that he engaged his military men in was making sufficient level ground to produce grain. So he sent soldiers in all directions to make agricultural fields by flattening surfaces of land so that the sufficient agriculture was there to take care of the necessity of people in general. And one of the places they went to was Bengal, like, you know, one of the breadbasket places of all of India. And when they came to Navadvip, and they were engaged in leveling some land, flames came out of the land. So they sent messenger to Prithu Maharaj and said, what happened? And he said, I don't know what that is, but stop digging. Stop leveling, I'll come at once. And he personally came. And he had a vision where Lord Chaitanya appeared and said, this is the place where I will appear in Kali Yuga as the avatar to deliver the holy name and pure love of God to those who take it. So Prithu arranged for a kund, which was named after him, Prithu Kund. And then later, in that same tract of land, that Prithu Kund was expanded by Lakshman Sen. Lakshman Sen was the son of Balal Sen, and he named the kund after his father. So in local Bengali language, it's Balal Digi, the expanded form of Pritukund. And some of you, I know the youth who attended the youth yatra, we went to the area that's behind Chankazi's Samadhi. Remember going to the palace of the Sen dynasty? Did I take you there? Your sister's saying yes. Behind. Did you go? You didn't go?
Yes.
You went. You don't remember. Ruins of an ancient palace. Just say yes. She remembers. We went there. That area where Chankazi, following the Sena Vaishnava kings of the Sena line, that dynasty, the same area was used for the central place of ruling. So the place what was Chankazi's palace, behind that is where the ancient ruins of the Sena dynasty's palace. You can go there and see. The walls are still there. The rooms are still there. It's very clear. It's an ancient palace. So, Lakshman Sen was the king that was contemporary with Jayadev Goswami. And Jayadev Goswami had made his residence right along the bank of the Ganga. And the Bhaktivedanta Memorial Trust, something that Srila Prabhupada established, set up a little shrine at the place where Jayadev Goswami was residing. And, thank you very much, where Jayadev Goswami was residing is, of course, the Ganga shifts from this place to that place over a period of time. And that shrine is there. So if you're going from our temple, the Chaitanya Chandradaya Mandir temple, heading towards the Yogpith, or to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a place where the Ganga curves, and if you look, there's like just a tract of land that hasn't been housing yet developed way, 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 way over by the Ganga. There's a shrine. Sometime, if you're with me, I'll point it out, or you can ask the local devotees, they know, where the bhajan kutir of Jayadev Goswami was. And it's reasonably close to where the palace of Lakshman Sen was. So, the king, Lakshman Sen, had a chief pundit, and his name, very nice name, was Govardhan. Govardhan Acharya. So Govardhan Acharya heard about this saintly person who went by the name of Jayadev, and some of the brahmanas of the king's court suggested that it would be nice if he could meet them, Jayadev and his wife, Padmavati. So he went to meet him, and he was so moved by his saintly qualities, and he asked him what he was doing while residing there, and he was writing Gita Govinda, and he asked if he could share some of Gita Govinda, and the writing of Gita Govinda was so incredible that he committed it to memory and went back and recited it to the king. And the king was so impressed with the quality of the writing, the devotion, the pure devotion of the writing, that he wanted to go meet Jayadev. And Govardhan Acharya said, I don't think that's a good idea, because Jayadev is very renounced. Although he's grahastha, he's reclusive and likes solitude. So if you go there in your royal attire and your royal chariot and so on, I don't think it will go over well. So the king thought about it and decided that he would just go in very simple, conventional, everyday attire of an ordinary Vaishnav. So he went to the place where Jayadeva and Padmavati were residing. And he didn't introduce himself as the king. He just came and said, I've heard that you're here in this area and you're writing a very wonderful book. May I hear some of it from you? And Jayadeva recited some of Gita Govinda. And then the king just became overwhelmed with the beauty of it and introduced himself as the king and said, it would be the most wonderful thing that I can imagine if you could accept residence in my royal palace. And with that, Jayadeva dismissed him. He said, now you've contaminated me. You, a worldly person, have come and spent time at my ashram. Now I have to leave your kingdom permanently. It was a test. It was a deliberate, purposeful, like, remark that would a normal person would take to be an offensive comment. But Lakshman Sen was a Vaishnav, and he was very humble, and he recognized that Jayadeva was a sadhu, and so he said, I'm sorry that I've offended you and contaminated your ashram, but it would be the most unfortunate thing if you left my kingdom. I understand now your mood. You like simplicity, and the natural beauty of this setting here in Navadvipa is certainly very attractive. There is a wonderful place called Champa Hati, or Champa Hata. There are beautiful, beautiful champa trees, and it's very peaceful, and it's on the other side of the river, so by your utterance that you will leave my kingdom, you can leave my kingdom and not leave my kingdom at the same time. It's just on the other side of the river. So Jayadeva Goswami said, I was just testing you to see if you're a proud, arrogant materialist like most kings are, or if you're a genuine Vaishnav, like you say that you're from a Vaishnav line. Now I understand. You have the quality of a Vaishnav. The true quality of a Vaishnav is humility. And so I accept your offer. I'll stay at Champahati, or Champahata. So arrangements were made for a little cottage to be made, and Jayadeva and his wife Padmavati shifted there, and they lived for many years. In Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, it's described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that while residing there, Jayadeva Goswami had a vision. It doesn't say a dream, it says he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was 300 years before he appeared. First it was, he was worshipping Radha Madhava, we'll see the deity. But when he saw Radha Madhava, suddenly he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instead of Radha Madhava. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke and told him that I want you to go to Jagannath Puri. And there you can sing and teach Gita Govinda. And when I appear in 300 years time, I will also accept the sannyas order and go to Puri. And there I will relish hearing Gita Govinda on a regular basis. Those of you that went to the Mayapur Parikrama, you probably remember Champahati. It's a very, very beautiful place. And the brother of Gadadhar Pandit made his residence there. His name was Dvijavaninath. And there's deities of Gaur Gadadhar, very tall deities of Gaur Gadadhar. Can anyone remember those deities? Dvijavaninath, during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also had a vision. His vision was he saw Jayadeva Goswami, who had resided at Champahata. same place where he was worshipping Gorga Dadhar and performing his devotional service to Lord Chaitanya. While living at Champahatta, a very wonderful pastime took place, a pastime that many of you have heard before, and it's so nice we can hear it again and again. He was composing Gita Govinda, and like many of the places that we visited in Vrindavan, like when Krishna would come and place his head at Radha's feet. So he was writing Gita Govinda. This is 300 years before Lord Chaitanya appeared. He's writing Gita Govinda, and in the Leela that he's spontaneously composing out of his heart, out of his pure heart of devotion, a scene evolved where Radha became angry with Krishna. And in her anger with Krishna, she wouldn't hear from Krishna, she wouldn't even look at Krishna, she wouldn't respond to Krishna. And Krishna did funny things, Krishna did humble things, Krishna began crying and began placing his head at Radha's feet to give up her anger. And as he was composing this section, he stopped, put his writing instrument down, and was thinking, this isn't right. How can I express that the personality of God, the supreme controller of all living beings, is submitting himself by putting his head at the feet of anyone, even Radha? So he stopped. And he told his wife, it's time, I'm going to go take my midday bath and perform my midday duties. So shortly after he left, Jayadev apparently immediately came back. And his wife was startled and said, you went to take your bath. He said, yes, but there was something that came to my mind in my writing and I didn't want to let it slip away, so I came back to him. So he went back at his writing place and began writing. And then he asked for his meal, which was unusual because he would take his bath before his meal, but his wife said, if my husband wants his meal, fine, don't give him his meal. And he took his meal and left. And sometime later he came back again, this time having taken his bath with his hair still wet, wearing his gamsha, and asked his wife to prepare lunch. He was ready to take his lunch now. She said, but you just had lunch. And he said, what do you mean? I went to take my bath, and now I'm back here for lunch. Well, there's nothing left because you already ate lunch. And she described what happened. And as she described what happened, Jayadev went and sat at the sitting place and saw that there was fresh ink on the writing surface where he was writing. And it was the very same words that he stopped composing, feeling that it wasn't appropriate. So his realization was that it was Krishna who came looking so much like Jayadev Goswami, even his wife didn't recognize it wasn't Jayadev Goswami, it was Krishna. And Krishna wanted those words to be written in Gita Govinda. Krishna, who was within his heart, was inspiring him to write those words. And Krishna, who appeared as Jayadev Goswami, finished writing those words and then left. So Jayadev was feeling so blessed, and at the same time feeling that his wife was so fortunate. Krishna personally came and accepted meals, her cooking. There's another pastime directly related to his deity, Radha Madhava. I don't recall it saying where he was, but he was worshipping his deity, Radha Madhava, very, very lovingly. And at a certain point in time, he became inspired on one festival occasion to have a special festival for Radha Madhava. But he was a Brahmin, a poor Brahmin who didn't have any means, and so he decided what he would do was he would go on a little preaching tour and sing Gita Govinda. And whatever donations he received, he would accept those donations and use the donations for a festival for his deity. I'm going to connect this also with a teaching that comes from Vishvarup in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. After Indra had offended Brihaspati, those of you that know this pastime, Indra was having a big festival in Indraloka. And being modest, it was all about himself. Big Indra festival in Indraloka, all in honor of him. And so he invited the Gandharvas for singing and the Apsaras for dancing, invited all of his demigod friends, and they had a big Indra festival. And right in the middle of the festival walked Brihaspati. And Indra didn't even acknowledge Brihaspati because he was all filled with himself. And so recognizing the intoxicated with pride condition of Indra, Brihaspati didn't say a word. He just turned around and left. He not only left the assembly, he left Indraloka. He dumped Indra. And when the festival was all over, Indra's wife informed Indra what happened while he was, you know, all joyful about how everyone was honoring him. Brihaspati left. And when Brihaspati left, the demigods were very concerned. Indra sent people in all directions looking for Brihaspati, and Brihaspati wasn't to be found. And there's a saying, bad news spreads fast. It happens in ISKCON too. That Brihaspati left Indra, went all the way into the nether region, where the Daityas also found out. Brihaspati's gone. So the demons were then advised by Shukracharya that the protection of Indra was the spiritual strength of Brihaspati. Brihaspati's gone. You know what that means? Hey, Daityas, get your weapons. Let's go. You can take over Indraloka, no problem. And that's what they did. It was a breeze. They took over Indraloka. And Indra had to depart. So Indra had another problem. He regularly has problems. So this time he went to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma scolded him. Indra, you do this again and again. You, now you've offended your spiritual master. When will you learn, Indra? Some protection, now that Brihaspati is gone, there's a very qualified person whose name is Vishvarup. Vishvarup is the son of Trashta, a very, very qualified brahmana. And I think if you approach Vishvarup in a very humble manner, he's a brahmana. He'll assist you. Go ahead. Go to Vishvarup. So he went to Vishvarup. Oh, Vishvarup, I have a problem. What's your problem? I lost my kingdom. How'd you lose your kingdom? I offended Brihaspati, so he left. Would you become my priest in the heavenly kingdom? So Vishvarup gave three reasons why he didn't want to. And then he refuted those three reasons and then accepted. One of the reasons was that when a priest, this is particularly a Purohit, one who does religious functions on behalf of someone. So when a Purohit performs sacrifices, he receives money. And if you become the Purohit for the demigods, you could just become absorbed in thinking, wow, when am I going to get some more money? When am I going to get some more money? When am I going to get some more money? It's like, you know, when a group like this enters certain of the temples in Vrindavan, we won't mention which ones, but certain temples, they get really fired up and think, wow, we're going to get some money. That very mentality, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very strongly criticized. He didn't specifically mention certain temples in Vrindavan, but he mentioned the consciousness of serving the deity with the intention that by serving the deity, I'll get my personal maintenance. I can maintain my family if I just stay here and worship the deity. Because deity worship isn't for that purpose. Deity worship is for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. Just like this devotee at Radhavinod temple, the Pujari. He's such a nice man. He came afterwards while everyone was upstairs taking prasadam, and he said something, I couldn't understand all of what he said, but something about, you know, by coming here to take darshan of Radhavinod, may you and your whole group have the blessings of Lokanath Goswami and Narottam Das Thakur. And he couldn't understand everything I was saying in English, but he said, I heard you say many times, Lokanath and Narottam Das Thakur, surely they are happy with all of you. Just, you know. Then he made some comment about, you know, I have no health problem. I'm getting older, but I have no health problem because Radhavinod, they take care of me. I don't need doctors and medicine. I just need to serve Radhavinod. Just like, you know, it's just so happy. You know, like he gave away all those pictures to all the devotees. There's a whole other, it's just, his wish is, let the mercy of Radhavinod go into the hearts of all who come here. That's his meditation, not the other kind. So, Vishvarup was saying to Indra that the solution to this problem is whatever it is, and it's your duty, you must give something to the priest, but I won't, I can take this service provided I don't use any of the resource that comes to me for my personal maintenance, but I can use it for worship of my deity. That's permitted. One is a grahastha. One should, for the Jayadev did the same thing. He didn't use his writing for his personal maintenance, but to propagate the message of Gita Govinda for the service of his deity. That was perfectly appropriate for a grahastha brahmin. So he went on a tour and gave presentations on Gita Govinda. And much to the happiness of those who received, they gave nice contribution to Jayadev. And after some time, he had enough to have a nice big festival for Radha Madhava. But as fate would have it, some dacoits came to know that Jayadev Goswami has some money. Let's get him. And he was attacked by dacoits. One version describes that they threw him in the bottom of a well. They took all of the money and threw him in the bottom of a well. And it was days. He had broken limbs. He had, of course, nothing to eat. And it just so happened that a king was passing by in a forested area near where the well was, and he heard Jayadev singing Gita Govinda from the bottom of the well. And he came to the well and heard Gita Govinda being spoken, and he wondered, who is it? Who's that? And so he arranged for Jayadev to be taken out of the well and asked him who he was. And he told them who he was. And he, please come to my royal physician. I'll see if I can help heal the damage that's been done to your body. So he, this is detailed, listen carefully. He was brought back to the king's palace. He was made well. He found out who he was. Arrangements were made for Padmavati to come, and they had a big festival in honor of Jayadev Goswami and asked him to recite Gita Govinda. And at the festival, as was the tradition for a king, the king would give in charity to the brahmanas. And so those very same dacoits heard about the big festival, so they came disguised as brahmanas so they could receive some charity. And Jayadev recognized them in the crowd. Those are the dacoits. So he motioned to the assistants of the king and pointed them out in the crowd. And when they saw themselves being pointed out in the crowd, they thought, this is it, we're in trouble. He is telling the king, you know, those are the guys that got me. So they ran. They got up and ran. And Jayadev Goswami said, please make sure you catch them. He didn't say, you know, get them. He said, those three persons in the audience, please make sure they get special remuneration. And after they ran, he said, you know, these brahmanas are leaving before remuneration is being given to all the brahmanas. Please make sure they get. So the military of the king caught them. And when they caught them, they were, oh, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. Said, what do you mean you didn't do it? We want to give you some charity. You didn't receive charity yet. He said, well, what we meant was, this person, Jayadev, you know, he's a liar, and he's a this, and he's a that, and he's a bad person. You should never have anything to do with this person because he's a bad person. We know because we're Brahmins. And as they were speaking, the ground opened up, and they were swallowed in the ground right before the constable's eyes. And they were startled, to say the least. So they came back and reported this to the king. And the king turned to Jayadev and said, basically, what's up? What's all this? What's going on here? And Jayadev narrated the whole thing. He said, these are the persons that attacked me and stole whatever I had to have my festival for Radha Madhava and tossed me in the bottom of this well. And he said, well, the king said, well, knowing that, why did you want that we should give them special charity? You know, why did you tell me, you know, have them arrested? Because they're criminals. They tried to kill you. Only by the fortune of God did I come by and you're still alive. He said that the position of a devotee of the Lord is that they should be the well-wisher even for those who are their aggressors. If the plan of the Lord is otherwise, so be it. But from a Vaishnava's point of view, for those who are one's aggressors, one should be well-wishers. So I wanted that if they receive sufficient funds, maybe they'll be less of thieves. If they see that compassion is extended to them, maybe they'll be less hard of heart. At least that was my wish for them. So the king could understand, wow, we have a real saintly person here. This is not an ordinary individual. And it's a very nice lesson, very important lesson in life. because from time to time, we all are the recipients of someone's ill will. In some cases, it's not intentional. In some cases, it's intentional. And when that comes, one should maintain the transcendental position of wishing that person well. We find this example in Narada, and with Nalukuvera and Manigriva. They were drunken and insulting and shameless. And all Narada's thoughts immediately went to, what is the best thing for these two persons, Nalukuvera and Manigriva? What way can I serve them in a beneficial manner? Now, it turned out a little differently than, give them some remuneration. But his contemplation was, it was well-wishing. What can be the best thing to offer or to do in this circumstance? So that was the position of Jayadeva Goswami. One last thing. In his biography, it's described that after he went to Puri and was residing in Puri, his Gita Govinda during his lifetime became very popular. Oh, two things. It's so popular that many people were learning Gita Govinda and singing. So one daughter of a gardener was a very good singer, and she was at night, after her gardening work was done, and she would take her bath, she would sit and sing Gita Govinda. And one time, the king saw that the cloth of Jagannath was ripped, and that there were thorns in his cloth. And so, he asked the pujari, what's this? The cloth of Jagannath is ripped and there's thorns? How did this happen? Please explain. He said, I have no idea, but from time to time this happens. So one evening, a piece of cloth was missing, and they found that piece of cloth in the garden where the gardener's daughter was singing Gita Govinda. It was Jagannath's cloth missing from his cloth. The king had a dream, and Jagannath appeared in his dream saying, I go to this, don't become angry at your pujari. I go to hear this wonderful singing of Gita Govinda from the gardener's daughter. That's where the thorns come from and the ripped cloth comes from. I just come back at night after she's finished with her singing. So the king made an arrangement. He found the girl and invited her to come and every evening, instead of singing in the garden, sing in front of Jagannath. So he doesn't have to leave the altar and go and hear the singing. And from that time till the present is a tradition that Devi Dasis, girls, would sing Gita Govinda before Lord Jagannath at a certain time of the day. And one other Leela with his deity, with Radha Madhava, is one time Jayadeva was fixing, he had a grass cottage with a grass roof. And at a certain point in time, when the grass roof becomes old, the grass becomes withered and shriveled, you have to replace the grass with bundles of new grass. So he was removing, he didn't have an assistant, he was just removing the bundles of grass and tying up and getting back down and tying up bundles of fresh grass and putting up the bundles. And as he was doing that, bundles were being handed to him. And he thought, oh, my wife is helping me, this is very good, I'll finish in much less time than was planned. And he finished the entire roof, and just bundles would come up and bundles would come up and bundles would come up. And he finished ahead of time, and he got down from the roof, and he didn't see his wife anywhere, so he went looking for his wife and thanked his wife for helping him. She said, I wasn't helping you, I was busy doing something else. So he went into the temple room, and the very Radha Madhava that we're going to see had his hands all black from the straw. And his garments were soiled from assisting his devotee, Jayadev, because it was intense labor for a brahmana. So he pitched in and helped him thatch his roof with nice bundles of straw. This is described in the biography of Jayadev Goswami. So the deity of Jayadev Goswami was worshipped in Vrindavan. The detail of that Jayadev obviously spent some time also in Vrindavan. The detail of that is unknown to me. There's a temple of Jayadev Goswami also at Radha Kund, but when the deities of Vrindavan were taken safely to Jaipur, the deity of Radha Madhava was also brought here. And so, those of us that are still here at 5 o'clock will have darshan of Radha Madhava. We'll go there just for the sake of having darshan. The katha is happening here. Very pleasant situation. Thank you all for joining in. A nice, memorable, hopefully, visit to Vrindavan and Karoli and Jaipur. Our mood should be prayerful. The prayer should be to receive the mercy of these venerable Vaishnavas who resided in Vrindavan and many of whose deities are here in Jaipur. Meditating on their mood of service, the deep spirit of devotion, not simply regulative, but trying to become more entering, naturally coming on a yatra like this, it's the wishes to go more deeply in the practices of devotion. So this becomes possible by mercy. And when mercy is received, even our capacity may be small, but when whatever mercy it is that we received, even just coming means we're certainly going to receive some mercy, then cherish that and cultivate that appreciation for these wonderful, 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 very exalted Vaishnavas. May their mercy and their mood become something that enters more deeply into our hearts as a result of this nice visit. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.